So a few years ago, I came up with a really simple four-step prospecting format. Now, what's really cool about this prospecting format is that it works really well with cold calls, cold emails, with LinkedIn, snail mail, FedEx. It is just a really simple, down and dirty format that you can follow. Today, I'm going to share it with you. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so what we're going to do today is a bit of a first. I'm going to be sharing some things with you that I've never shared on my blog, on the podcast. In fact, the stuff that I'm going to be going into right now is the stuff, we really call it the premium content. It's the stuff that I share only with my coaching clients and on the webinars and the courses that I teach. So what I thought I'd do today, I was like debating, all right, so do I, and I'm not trying to sound cheesy, like this is a cheesy marketing script that I'm following here. I thought, well, do I want to give it all away and then run the risk of people not buying my stuff because I just kind of gave it away? Or do I want to offer a version of it where I'm not going into as much detail as I would if you purchased the course? So guess what? We came to a really good compromise today. So today, I'm going to share a four-step prospecting framework. Now, what the thing about this is, with this prospecting framework, many of you, if you tend to lean heavily on cold calling, you're going to think that I'm talking about cold calling. For those of you, when I say prospecting, you're thinking, okay, he's going to talk about stuff I can do in an email. Well, you happen to be right, just as the person with the cold calling happens to be right. So I want you to think in a broader sense, and that's why we're using the word prospecting, because this format works very well on the phone. It works well with email. It will work well with your social networks, especially over on LinkedIn. It'll work well with snail mail and FedEx and things like that. So this can really, really serve you well. And the thing that excites me most about it was that it was something that I came up with. I'm trying to think, it must have been about 4 or 5 years ago. And what I really enjoy most about this is that sometimes you come up with an idea, and it takes a long time to see if it's something that maybe over the long term would benefit people. This is something that immediately in my practice, because I'm still cold calling, I was seeing results right away. But with my coaching clients, I noticed it right away. I was getting immediate positive feedback, and not just from the veterans that had been at it for a while. I'm talking about even like amongst the newbies, people who had never sold before, fresh out of college, and they were getting results. So that is about 2 minutes and 40 seconds of talk, more than I should have been doing. I want to just get down to business and dive in. So this is one of those sessions that you would be best served if you weren't driving, because I'm going to tell you to write things down, because it's real simple, but there's some details that I don't want you to be so busy driving or doing something else that you don't give this the respect that it's going to deserve. Seriously, it's one of those things that's going to take you just a little while to learn it, and then you've got your whole lifetime to just master it. So the very first thing, again, if you're not driving, I want you to write down the letter R and write down R equals relevant. The very first step of the messaging framework is that you need to be relevant. Now, this is the step. I guarantee you, I know what you guys just did there. You gave me a freaking eye roll. You probably said, oh shit, is he going to be doing this Captain Obvious stuff? Like, duh, of course it's relevant. Like, who the heck would send something that wasn't relevant? Well, forgive me, but the answer is probably you. And the reason why I know this is because most of us have made the mistake about not being relevant. So let me just explain this to you. What happens is that you might think that your email or your messaging over on LinkedIn or that cold call or whatever, is relevant. But the problem is that most of these, this messaging isn't relevant at the right time during the outreach. So let me give you an example. Let's just say that we're sending Jane an email. Most of the emails that I've seen and that I've experienced and received go something like this. Any variation, these aren't the exact words, but you'll see that it follows this format. Something like, Jane, as New York's premier supplier of blank, or how about on a cold call? Hi, Jane, it's Paul from Castain Training Systems, and we're a blank. Doesn't matter what I say after that, because in both cases, we lost them. Because, see, we're not being relevant right there. And again, and forgive me, you got, if you're just tuning in right now and bad language, like the S-curse bothers you, probably we're not going to end up by being friends. You should probably just cut your losses now, because you're just going to be mad at me. But I'm just going to be blunt. Nobody gives a shit at this point of the communication about you. You are not being relevant at the right time. And believe me, when you interrupt someone from doing something, and in essence you start talking about how you're a full service this, or the premier supplier of that, or we do this, or we do that, they don't care at that point. They yes, there are some that will. Sure. For example, you get someone. Have you ever had a call like this? We call up someone like, oh my gosh, your timing's incredible. We were just talking about it. Well, then they probably care about that because they're bleeding and you just showed up with the tourniquet. So I get that. But how often does that happen? That's like maybe 1%, less than 1%. So what happens is that when you're not relevant at the right time, you never make it past that. So you take a bullet. And you usually either die at that point or you just don't know that you've taken a bullet and you don't know to lay down and die. So what happens then is that this is why, if you think about it, if you analyze a lot of your cold calls, most of them die right after that first phrase. Now with email, something very interesting happens. And you've heard me talk about this. There's something called the preview text. The preview text is the first, and it depends. But I've heard anywhere from the first 35 to 140 characters or something like that. Usually about the first sentence or maybe 75% of the first sentence will show up in the preview text. In other words, right there in the inbox, you'll see, oh, wow, Paul Castain sent me an email. And you'll see the first few characters of what I'm saying. So now let's be honest with each other for a minute. If you are not in the market for what I'm selling, and I interrupt you, and you see immediately that I'm selling sales training or sales coaching or my latest course or whatever, but you're just not in the market for it, nor do you care at that point in time, what's the probability of you even opening that email? I'm going to say very, very low. In fact, if you want to know the exact number, according to, I believe it's Constant Contact, because MailChimp also did the study, just so you know. And they were coming up with only about 21% of the emails that we send are even opened. And I think a lot of that has to do with this first step being relevant. So instead of talking about what people do wrong here, let's talk about how to become more relevant. So one of the ways that you become more relevant, and you've heard me talk about this phrase before, if you've been listening for a while, is it's a really cool fill-in-the-blank phrase, and it goes something like this. I noticed that. You're going to begin with, I noticed that. Now, in order to use that phrase, you really this is why you do your homework. You need to take that time before the call, before the email. So, you know, a lot of people make that mistake. They think that you only do pre-call planning before you pick up a phone. But I'm here to tell you that before you send that sales email, that cold email, you should do a little bit of research as well. Now, when you're researching, and then we'll get back to this format, a lot of people know that they're supposed to research, and yeah, I go to Google or whatever, but they don't know what they're really looking for because nobody's ever really told them. The thing that you want to really look for are trigger events. trigger events or things going on in their world that would lead to a higher probability of them needing your product or service right now. So again, it's things that are going on in their world that would lead to a higher probability of them needing your products and services right now. So that's how this is going to tie in with I notice that. So let's say that in your meticulous pre-call planning research, you found out that Jane is hiring. Now, we're gonna do this from my perspective because I had better understand what I sell. I don't understand what you sell, unless it's the industries that I serve. But being that we have lots of people listening to this, let's talk about what I sell, sales training. So I know what some of my trigger events are that I have to watch for. One of them, and this is a trigger event in general you should be aware of, is a company that's hiring. So especially they're hiring sales reps, guess what? Those new sales reps, in many cases, could use some training. And even if they can't use some training, one thing that a sales manager would find very relevant, and I want you to put yourself in their place. By the way, that's part of how you become more relevant. Mentally firing yourself and rehiring yourself as the person you're trying to get on board. You have to think about things through their lens and how they see the world. So that's what I do. So if I were a hiring manager and I'm hiring a bunch of new sales reps, one of the things that would be very important to me that I know I'm going to be graded on by my boss is how quickly I get these new reps ramped up and profitable. Because until that happens, they're a liability. And not only are they a liability financially, but they take up a tremendous amount of time with the sales manager. So now what I'm going to do is, I know, I'm armed with this information. I know that Jane is hiring. Learn that in my research. So what I'm going to do now when I reach out is I'm going to say something along the lines of, and I could put this in an email, Jane, I noticed that you're hiring new sales reps, and then I could just kind of go on. But I just want to be clear, I'm not going to go real deep into this just yet, because I want you to see it as we go into steps 2, 3, and 4, where this goes. But I want one main takeaway to happen right now. The first step, this step of being relevant, it decides if people are going to read further, listen to you further. Also, I want you to keep in mind, we didn't mention this before, this isn't just for the things that I mentioned when I said phone and with email and with LinkedIn and snail mail. Don't forget, it's also a format that we use for voicemail, right? Everybody's favorite thing in sales. So step number one, R equals relevant. Step number two, again, if you aren't driving, please write down O equals optimize. O equals optimize. So what you're going to do in the step where we optimize is you're going to tie in what you noticed with a hint of how you might be able to help. Let me say that again, and I'm also going to do some splaining, as my friend Ricky Ricardo would say, and do some splaining around this idea of what am I talking about when I say a hint of something? We're going to tie in what we noticed with a hint of how we might be able to help. See, the reason why we don't want to go into specifics of how we might be able to help is that we want to create the right level of intrigue so that they do this next step that we want them to do. Now, I'm going to assume that in this context, most of you, what you're looking for is to be able to do a discovery call or a face-to-face meeting where you do a needs analysis. So that's the context that we're going to learn about this from. So I don't want to go and say, well, we could do this, this, and this. Well, I don't want them making a snap decision in an email if that hits home with them or not. I really don't. I want an opportunity to talk with them, ask some questions, and see if it makes sense to explore it further. But I want that intrigue where they're like, all right, well, you know, what's he thinking about here? So let me give you kind of an example of how this, say, email would go a little bit further. So I begin this email to Jane by saying, Jane, I noticed that you're hiring new sales reps. That's step number one. Step number two, when I optimize, I can say something like, we've been able to help sales managers just like yourself ramp up sales reps quicker and in a way. You ready for this? I'm not going to write that. You ready for this? Imagine that. I'm saying it to you guys, the listener. And in a way that actually frees up the sales manager. Because see, when I mentally fire myself, and having walked in those shoes as a sales manager and a sales leader, I know that you're stretched mighty thin. You're all over the place. And that's one of the frustrations sales managers have. Not being enough hours in the day and this feeling like I didn't get to everybody. I really wish I could have helped everybody today. I have so many people who need me and I'm only one person, for God's sakes, that kind of stuff. So that's why I put that, I call it intentional language in there to help optimize this. I'm showing them that I understand their perspective and I put that whole part in there that actually frees up the sales manager. That is also a preemptive strike and that's all part of optimizing. The best way to handle an objection is to proactively kill it before it ever comes up. There are a lot of people with sales training that immediately think, well, I don't have the time for this. So you notice that's why I said that. That actually frees up the sales manager. So that's one of the things that I do. But there are other ways that we optimize. Now, aside from doing, and just a quick thing before I give you the next part of optimizing. You know, when it comes to optimizing, this optimizing step, one of the things that we want to do, I just want to think how deep I want to go into this. Like an easy way to do this. Yeah, this I do want to get into right now. An easy thing to remember is that, think about before you listen to this podcast, you were probably more inclined to lead the call, lead the LinkedIn communication or the email or the piece of snail mail or the voicemail with something about you. Hi, Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and we are a training company serving companies in the blank, blank, and blank industries or whatever, right? That kind of thing. Most of the people that I train, when they hear that, they say, oh, yeah, that was me. So I'm guessing you're probably in that boat. Most people are. Don't feel bad about it. I was in it in that boat as well until I made this change. But what you're really doing now with this format is you're just flip-flopping. You're taking the thing that you would have said in the past and leading with something about you, and you're making that the second thing, because the first thing is leading with something relevant about them, and the optimization, when we optimize, what we're going to do in this step is basically say that, okay, well, here's how we can do it, and here's a little something about us. But the other way that you can optimize, see, there's a lot to optimizing, is you want to provide evidence, because whether people hear something, or they read it, or they're looking right at you and you're communicating it, the thing that we have to acknowledge, doesn't mean you have to like it. It's one of those things in sales we don't like to talk about, but I think we'd all agree it's true. People really don't trust us, including other salespeople. I always talk about the study from HubSpot where they did the study and they found 97% just simply don't trust sales reps. They don't find us trustworthy or it to be a trustworthy profession. I mean, so we're really not trusted. So the best way to gain somebody's trust, it's just like that whole objection thing. Do it proactively before somebody says, hey, prove it. You've got to realize that most people think most things are too good to be true. Or most people think that we're full of shit, or that we're just saying that because we get paid to say that. So this is where you might want to sprinkle in some evidence. We sprinkle in evidence, and I'll give you a few examples of evidence. We sprinkle in evidence into our communication to reduce and or eliminate doubt, skepticisms, and certainly objections. So we sprinkle in the use of evidence to reduce or hopefully eliminate skepticism, doubt, objections. So what are some ways that we can provide evidence? Now, some of these, just keep in mind, are you can use according to what communication venue you're using. For example, I might provide you with one of these ideas and you say, well, that wouldn't work on a phone call. I'd have to do that in an email or face-to-face or whatever. So just keep that in mind. Some forms of evidence are, well, one could be a testimonial. So I could do that whole second part where I say that we've been able to help sales managers just like you ramp up their sales reps quickly and in a way that doesn't, you know, that actually frees up the sales manager. At that point, I could say that, in fact, here's what Bob Jones from ABC Company had to say about that and provide a quick testimonial right about there. So testimonials are one way. You can provide a demo, or certainly if you were sending a link, maybe a link to, if you were sending an email or something over on LinkedIn, you could send a link to a video demo, a link to a very short, maybe 3 to 4 minute WebEx that's pre-recorded so that they could maybe see some visual representations that would be construed as evidence. Anytime that you provide facts or studies, analogies, stories, those are all forms of evidence. Now, there's a lot more to the evidence thing. In fact, in all the courses and everything else that I teach, I take everyone through over 12 different forms of evidence. But again, I said to you, part of our agreement today is I'm going to give you a sneak peek into the premium content, but I'm not going to give it all to you. So that's one. So in case you're sitting and say, hey, I think something's missing here, there's several things missing. But I'm going to at least give you enough today that you can go out there and make a significant difference in the way that you're communicating with potential clients. So step number two, O equals optimize. Let's go to step number three. Step number three is C equals call to action. C equals call to action. In an email, your typical call to action would be something like click here to learn more. Reply to this email with your availability and blah, 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 blah. Right? So what I teach is something called a reverse call to action. In a traditional call to action, we are asking them to do something. Click here, reply, that kind of thing, right? Act now, I mean, if we want to be really cheesy or whatever. But with a reverse call to action, we're doing the opposite. We're not asking them to do anything. In fact, we're telling them about our next move and to expect it. So think about that and how different that is. Instead of asking them to do something, now we're going to tell them the next move and when to expect it. Let me give you a quick example. I'm going to be calling you on August 26th at 9:45 a.m. Now that is not complete. There's more to this and I'm about to tell you what it is, but I want to take it a step at a time. So with the reverse call to action, did you see what I did? I told them the exact day and time that I'm going to be calling. Now, the reason why we do that, there's a lot of reasons. Number one, we want to create anticipation. And when I give you the rest of that sentence, you'll see how it will create anticipation. But the other thing, too, is that it sets up the next move in the cadence, which really leads to a higher probability of that person picking up the phone or being available at that time. So especially if you have a hard time reaching someone and you're saying, boy, I really wish there was a way for me to get people to pick up their phone, this step right here is, it's all over that one. It really, really works well. So the way that you really bring this step home is by using another tactic, and we call it using potato chips. Potato chips, you can't eat just one. They actually aggravate your hunger in some ways, right? So if you're somewhat hungry for something and I've intrigued you to dine with me and I hand you a potato chip, you're going to want more. It doesn't leave you with a full belly. And I don't want you to have a full belly. I want you to walk away somewhat hungry so that you take that call from me on August 26th at 9:45 a.m. So here's how we put a potato chip in there, right? The first part of the sentence, I've already told you, but listen closely when I get to the second part of the sentence, because that's where I'm going to use the potato chips. And the potato chips tactic is a key part of this reverse call to action technique. I'm going to be calling you on August 26th at 9:45 a.m. with a few ideas that can help, or again, I could tie it right back to that hiring thing that Jane's going through. So I could say something like, I'm gonna be calling you on August 26th at 9:45 a.m. with a few ideas that can help you with the hiring and onboarding of these new sales reps. So again, I'm still being very relevant. Notice I'm really not talking a lot about me. I'm talking about what's on Jane's mind right now, which if she asks, she's doing a lot of hiring. That's taken up a lot of her thoughts between the candidates she has, the candidates that she needs to get, all the conversations she might be having with HR and recruiters, and maybe bouncing candidates off of their boss to get the final stamp of approval, getting them trained, getting things scheduled. So there's a lot going on and it's dominating their thoughts. So if I can come along in a real relevant way and offer to help, at the very least, again, notice I didn't say how I could help. I didn't even say if I could help, because I don't know yet until I have that conversation and we have that discovery call and do that needs analysis. But I want to create the intrigue. But if I fill that belly on that phone call or in that email, there really is no value in talking to me anymore unless I am really that good. And it's like, yeah, hey, no brainer. Let's do this thing. Right? But that really doesn't happen that much. So step number three is the call, C equals call to action. I need to say something about this step that a lot of people don't know. And you might be in for, I believe, a major aha right here with the call to action thing. When you're on a call and you're cold calling and somebody throws in an objection at you, one of the biggest mistakes that people make in objection handling is a failure to go back to the call to action. So in other words, we were taught somebody throws an objection at you and then you have your way of handling it. Some people, they'll ask questions just to get them talking. Other people follow a format. We teach a three-step, we call it an objection buster format. Now, step number three in that objection buster format is the most neglected step when it comes to handling objections. And I know some people get all shitty when they hear, hey, you don't handle an objection. I mean, let's stop with this perfect way to label things. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about responding to an objection, embracing an objection, whatever you want to call it, but you know what I'm talking about. And here's the deal, folks. Most of us were taught you handle the objection and then you shut up and you do a bit of a silent close here. I think that is the worst effing thing that you could do under the sun. Why in God's name would you ever shut up long enough for somebody to reload and take another shot at you and empty another clip into that phone? I would never do that. I would certainly answer the objection. And then what I would do almost in the same breath is redirect back to the call to action. Now, in a phone call, what's the call to action? The call to action is, how's your schedule on either Tuesday at 9:45 a.m. or perhaps later in the week on Thursday or Friday at 3:30 p.m.? So another takeaway for you when it comes to the call to action is, don't forget, when you're handling an objection, you don't want to sit there answering all objections all day. When you answer the objection, then at the end of it, bring it back around to the ask. Bring it back around to the call to action, which in this case is their availability, right? So brings us to step number four. K equals know your next move. K equals know your next move, and you must know it before you pick up the phone, before you reach out to them on LinkedIn, before you send that FedEx or drop in. Anytime you're about to make an attempt for communication or to communicate with this potential client, you must know what the move is going to be after that move. Why? Because the average salesperson goes seat of their pants. And to me, that makes for awful communication. The quality of the communication, when you're basically deciding what you're going to do as your fingers are reaching toward a keyboard or your hand is going toward a phone, some of you, I know, are that good. You can really wing it fairly well, but as good as you are at that, I bet you the quality of your communication will go 10x when you've actually premeditated it. But the other reason why you want to know what your next move is before you make the current move. The move, what's going to be the move after this move? I'm going to be calling Jane right now. And, or better yet, you know, I'm going to be emailing Jane. And if for whatever reason, you know, this doesn't go the way I want, or maybe it does go the way I want, but I'm going to set up that next move, which is going to be the phone call. So now if I know that next move, I can do the step that was before, which was the call to action, a reverse call to action. But there's no possible way that I can set up the next move unless, like, I don't already know what that next move is going to be. Again, if you know what that next attempt is going to be, whether it be a call or a drop-in or a FedEx or whatever, it allows you to set up the next attempt, but it also allows you to get all these types of outreach marching together in support of each other and in unison. Brings us to another problem with the cadences that a lot of people are using. They're very siloed. They're very choppy. They're not fluid. They're not supporting each other. They're standalone. If you really look at it, if you really want to look at it that way, it's kind of like I make a call. All right. I wait so much time. I do another call. Or maybe I think I'm being really creative. And you know what? I'm going to do an email. And then, you know what? I wait a little bit longer and then I do another type of attempt. But this way, with the reverse call to action and knowing what my next move is, my call can set up the email. My email could set up a really cool FedEx that I'm going to be sending you. I can create intrigue and I can actually say that I want you to watch for a really cool FedEx that's going to be coming your way on Wednesday. I could even set up a drop-in. For some of you who like to do drop-ins, try using the reverse call to action for that. And what I recommend that you do there is that you give a time range. So you might say something like, I'm actually going to be in the area from 1:30 to 3 p.m. tomorrow. I'm hoping that you'll be available. And I use this phrase, you might want to steal this, available so I could say the world's quickest hello and leave a few things that I think might be of very helpful to you with those new hires or whatever the trigger event is. So do you see how we're setting up the next move? So if you've been paying attention during this podcast, I'm going to assume you have been, you know that the first thing I told you to write down was R equals relevant. The second thing was O equals optimize. C equals call to action. K equals know your next attempt or know your next move. And you'll notice that right now I get to be like every other corny sales trainer. I would have to hand in my corny sales trainer badge and seal of approval if I didn't use one crazy analogy. So the way you're going to remember today's session is by knowing that, okay, if I'm being relevant and I am optimizing and I am doing the call to action and K, knowing my next move, well, that spells rock. And this is going to help you rock your communication. So I hope this was helpful. And as I promised you in the beginning, this is not all there is to it. There, we go a lot deeper into this In fact, we have a course right now that is we're going to be taking it down soon because we're only offering it in the month of August. So we only have about another week and a half left before we take it down and move on to the next thing. But I have a prospecting download, and I've been getting a lot of great feedback on it. We go into a lot further detail on the four-step messaging framework there. But we also get into how you can marry things like cold calling and emails and LinkedIn and snail mail and creative things. I have over 50 templates that are shared. In fact, 35 of them are for cold emails, 15 of them are for LinkedIn. I have messaging plans that we include. I have a really cool personal branding ebook, and I believe it's either 60 or 80 pages to help you get your message out there a lot better and give you an advantage. And I think the timing might be right for this because here we are, we're coming off of summer. I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of people that slow down over the summer. But then the problem with that is you come back in September and having just lost some business over the summer. And if you really think about it, you only have a few months before things start slowing down again, but they slow down at the worst possible time, because we're going to be coming up on year end. So if you can get in front of some new ideas, in fact, we're offering over 100 different tactics in this download, I think it would give you an advantage. So if you'd like to learn more, and I hope you do, and one final thing before I forget, before I give you the link, all of the things that I do, I don't care if it's this course or a webinar or whatever, one of the things that I like to add to the mix to set myself apart, because isn't it about difference? People buy difference. So one of the things I like to do to create a difference between me and all the other programs and other trainers out there is that I make myself available to you. So part of what you're paying for is support. So as you dig into the things that I teach you, if you want to create your own version of it and send it along to me and say, hey, Paul, what are your thoughts on this? Would you do anything different? Or, hey, I tried this and here's the response. What do you think would be a good next step? You've got that support. So if you'd like to learn more, I suggest that you do it soon because, yeah, we still have a little bit of time in August, but it's going to sneak up on you because next thing you know, we've got back to school, we've got Labor Day, and it's just real easy to forget. And then this thing's going to be gone. Please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/bundle, B-U-N-D-L-E, all lowercase, yoursalesplaybook.com/bundle. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Come visit our blog at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.